Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leading supplier for GAA clubs at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be speaking to 16-year-old European kickboxing champion Liam Grant ahead of this weekend's ISKA Irish Open. We'll get an update on the Northwest 10K, which is now just under 2 weeks away. We'll have reaction from the Ulster Under-20 Championship, where both Donegal and Tyrone progressed to the decider last night. Tony Boyle, 1992 All-Ireland winner with Donegal, will join us to look ahead to the Ulster Championship semi-finals this weekend, where Donegal play Down and, of course, Armagh take on Tyrone. And we've also got soccer to talk about as well. The games are continuing to come thick and fast for both Derry City and Finn Harps. Harps, of course, are on the road down against Cove Ramblers tomorrow night, Friday. And indeed, Derry City are also on their travels. They've a long trek as well as they go to the RSC grounds in Waterford to play Waterford FC. Joining us now on a line to look ahead to those games and talk some other soccer things, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by former Finn Harps captain and Coghill Celtic manager Gavin Cullen. Gavin, as always, you're welcome to the programme.
Evening, Oisin. How's things?
I'm not too bad, Gavin. We might maybe start with the Premier Division this week because things are very, very tight, particularly in the top half of the table. We've got, 11 games played in the top six, which has been led by Drogheda United, separated by just 3 points. So certainly the Premier Division is living up to, I suppose, the entertainment side of things, with so many teams taking off so many points of each other. And like we've seen last week, what was the top four or five didn't actually win? It was the teams in the lower half that were all taking the points. So listen, for neutrals, it's a very, very entertaining league.
Yeah, it's a very tight league. I suppose it'll start now in the second quarter of the season, sort of trying to the league table take a bit more shape. But at the minute, every team's beating every team. Obviously, all the clubs and teams are all full-time professional. That makes a huge difference and creates a fairly level playing field in the Premier League. But there's very, very, very little difference between the teams at the top. Drogheda obviously being the surprise package. Going full time for the first time this year sometimes creates a wee bit of difficulty and just the players adjusting and stuff, but they're flying. So they're at the minute unbeaten in the last five and doing really well. Obviously St. Pat's and Sam Grover, Shelburne and Derry are all thereabouts now as well. So it makes for a very, very interesting season, for sure.
Yeah, speaking of Derry, are Derry starting to click back-to-back ones for Tiernan Lynch's side? They were good against Sligo Rovers the last day and of course they picked up the one on the previous Friday. They're looking to build on that. Is things starting to go the right direction for Derry?
Seems to be, yeah. Obviously, lots made of a lot of signings and obviously a lot of big contracts been given out over the last year or two at Derry. But over the last few weeks, they definitely seem to have turned a corner. They're keeping players on the pitch. They had a wee bit of discipline issues as well early in the season. So Gavin White looks like he's starting to play. He's a top player and will do really well. The goal he scored at the weekend was brilliant. A run from 60, 65 yards. Obviously, we all feel Derry will be thereabouts. They had a poor enough start. They're probably disappointed with the start, but they're only 3 points off top now. I know it's very early days, but no, by all accounts at the weekend against Sligo and the Brandywell, they were very, very good, and it's one of their better performances in the Brandywell over the last few years.
Yeah. Would you expect them to beat Waterford, who of course had a good start to the season, but they've had a terrible run of late and they're currently sitting second from bottom. But it's a game that Derry could go get another 3 points out of the RSC.
Possibly, yeah. I would say Derry go in their favourites. Waterford are on a run of five defeats in a row. They obviously had a heavy defeat last Friday to Sligo at the RSC as well, which wouldn't be great for their confidence. So I fully expect Derry to go there and win. But again, as you know from the nature of the Premier Division, you just never know.
The big sides are all playing each other again. Bows are taking on St. Pat's. Galway United hosting the leaders, Drogheda. And of course, Shamrock Rovers against Shelburne, which is the 8 o'clock start on Friday night at the Tallaght Stadium. The battle of the former champions. And as I said, the big games keep coming. How do you see this one going? Can Damien Duff's side pull off a result away against the Hoops, against their rivals?
Absolutely, there's no doubt about it. Like, we all feel and we all know Shamrock Rovers are probably the biggest club in the country, and they had such a successful spell over the last 5-6 years under Stephen Bradley. But there's certain chinks in the armour. Last season, I suppose, with the European run and stuff, maybe took a ride of the ball in the league. And obviously it was the first league they didn't win. Shelburne went and won it, and deservedly so. Two very good squads of players, two top managers. Obviously Shamrock Rovers been 2-0 up at the weekend, and ended up losing 3-2 to Bowes. It was a dent. Otherwise, I think it might have been 5-1s on the spin for them. So it's a big one to call, and there'd be no surprise if it ended up a draw.
Sligo Rovers have a game on Saturday as well. They're taking on Cork City at the Showgrounds. And interesting note, if Sligo can win on Saturday and Waterford lose on Friday to Derry, Sligo would be off the bottom, off the table. Likewise, in the First Division, there's games taking place. One on Saturday, Longford Town against the leaders Dundalk. But before that, there's four games on Friday. Treaty United against Athlone. Wexford take on UCD. Bray Wanderers are up against Kerry FC. And of course, Finn Harps are making the longest trip of the year. I think it's 800 plus kilometres round trip for the Donegal side as they go to play Cove Ramblers on Friday evening. We're focusing in on that game now, Gavin. And Harps with a 1-1 draw against Dundalk on Bank Holiday Monday, which was an exceptional result on the road. And they're now looking, well, they have extended their unbeaten run to 6 games under Kevin McHugh. Harps going very, very well, Gavin.
They definitely have seemed to turn a corner. They look like they've become a lot harder to beat over the last 4 or 5 weeks under Kevin. Listening to his interviews and stuff, he's talked about the character and the demands and stuff like that, and that's hugely important, and it's maybe a thing that gets banded about a lot, but you can always tell the results when you're and likes away to Dundalk and stuff like that, and getting a result like that near the end. I think it was a 88th minute equaliser or so. So it's all very important and very good. They've stopped conceding as many goals by the looks of it, and they're obviously scoring a lot more than they did last season. I think they've 17 goals in the 10 games so far. So that's all real positive as well. Obviously a long road and a long way to go, but though I would fully expect them to be challenging and around the playoffs the way they've improved over the last 2 months, you know.
Why do you think that change has come? What has been core to Harps, who, listen, after the first couple of weeks were thinking it could be a real, real struggle for them, but things have turned the corner? What's been core to that?
You always get a bounce with a new manager. Obviously, Kevin was under there about. He knew what was going on, had a fair idea of the players that were available to him. He's obviously increased his demands, and maybe he's got them working that little bit harder and getting a wee bit more belief. It's hard to know what it is. It's hard to put the finger point. Obviously, Darren Murphy's last game was against Bray, and it was a 5-0 one, so that was a massive confidence boost for the players that they could go to this level and beat a team like that. So maybe there's a bounce from that as well. It could be a number of factors. I felt in pre-season, and I felt maybe at the start of the season, it was very underwhelming and very mundane, maybe the pre-season, and there wasn't a lot of sort of hope for the season ahead, and it was maybe too negative, you know, coming from the camp, and possibly that has changed in the last month or 6 weeks as well. It's been a bit more positive, results have become more positive, and now there's a wee bit of light at the end of the tunnel, maybe in terms of a playoff push or a push up the table, because there's a possibility of a good run as well. But obviously, going to Cove, and by all accounts, they're not overnight again, which is very, very difficult. It's a real, real test for the players. And Cove obviously are having a good enough season, so to get anything in Cove this weekend would be a massive boost, but it could be a matter of, you know, another defeat and maybe regrouping again, you know?
Yeah. So we'll move away just finally in this section, Gavin. We'll go a wee bit more local with the football. The Ulster Cup finals on this coming Sunday. Letterkenny Rovers are playing Kildrum Tigers. Obviously, your side, Coghill Celtic, lost to Kildrum in the competition. Rovers, since they won the Premier Division, are probably favourites for this. But what we do know is that the Tigers boys are certainly going to put up a fight, and Letterkenny may not have it all their own way this weekend.
No, they certainly won't. We played Kildrum in the semi-final away. Very tough day. Kildrum were well organised, well set up. The real fight and desire for each other. Got the just rewards that day. We had a few refereeing decisions we were disappointed with, but overall, I think the outcome was fair enough, and Kildrum deserved to win. So Letterkenny, obviously good squad of players, won the Donegal League quite well this year. Loads of experience, loads of quality. Probably on paper we'll start the game favourites, but you wouldn't know. I think Kildrum have a bit about them. Likes of Shane McGinty and Johnny Robb were very good against us defensively. They're very strong. They don't concede too many goals. So it's a hard one to call. I'd say, as you say, Letterkenny will go on favourites, but you never know in cup finals.
Yeah. And just finally, from your own point of view, obviously with Cork Hill, the league title was lost last week to your rivals, Bun Crana. But the season's not done yet for you, Gavin. You still have a number of cup games to come over the next few weeks.
Yeah, we're still in a couple of cups. We have a cup semi-final this beginning as Aylia was away, which will be tough as well. And then we have a cup final the week after against Clamanagh. And again, so again, we have a lot to play for. Disappointing last weekend. We felt we didn't do ourselves justice on Sunday. We didn't play well. We were poor. I think the hungrier team won it. And as I always say, fair play to Bun Crana. Congratulations to them. They deserve to win the league this year. They've been the hungrier team. They've only lost one game to ourselves. They've won every other single game. And they were just the hungrier team last Sunday. And sometimes you have to take that in the chin. And a league we've had an unbelievable run of 11 leagues in a row, and we were very gracious about that, and we're very gracious about losing at the weekend as well. I thought the players handled themselves very well, and as I said, Bun Crana deserved to win on the day and deserved to win the league, and fair play to them. So we have to take it, you know.
All right then, Gavin, we'll leave it there for this evening. Many thanks for joining us on the program, and we'll catch up again soon.
100%. Thanks, Eisen.
Gavin, of course, mentioned there that Ulster Cup final, Letterkenny Rovers against Kildrum Tigers, kicks off at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Chris Ashmore will be watching that game for Highland Radio Sport this coming Sunday afternoon. Just some of the other fixture highlights, local soccer-wise here in Donegal. The action continues tomorrow night, Friday. One top flight game with Cage Rovers against Bunnagee United. There's a couple of Division 2 Saturday matches on Friday evening as well. Kilmacrenan Celtic against Glenae United, and Erin Wanderers are playing Letterkenny Rovers. While on Saturday, there's lots of games to take place, Division 1 and Division 2. However, Old Town Celtic know that a draw or a win against Cage Rovers, and they will be crowned Division 1 champions for the fourth year in a row. While in Inishowen, there's a match tomorrow night, Friday. It's in the O'Gara Cup. Quiggs Point Swifts are taking on Glengad United. And there's a final taking place as well in Inishowen this weekend. It's the Inishgrass Shield final on Saturday at McGinn Park, with Cockhill Colts up against Clonmany Reserves. Okay, time to go for a quick commercial break. We'll have more on the score after these.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking a full range of Donegal jerseys and leisure wear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score, and our feature match this coming Sunday will once again come from St Tiernach's Park in Clonus. It is, of course, Senior Championship in Ulster semi-final weekend. Donegal are playing down on Sunday, a match that we will have full live match commentary from. I'll be joined by Brendan Devaney and Brendan Kilcoyne once again. That's the second semi-final. The first semi-final is Armagh against Tyrone, and that one gets underway at 4:45 on Saturday. So to look forward to both of those games, and in particular the Donegal match, I'm delighted to say that 92 All-Ireland winner and current senior ladies manager with the Dunlow Ladies, Tony Boyle, is joining us on the programme now. Tony, how you doing?
Good, Oisin. Aye, very, very good. Looking forward to the semi-final at the weekend. Aye.
Yeah, before we do that, maybe we might touch on this whole sort of talk and speculation and rumoured move of an Ulster final to Croke Park. The general consensus seems to be that Clonus is the venue for the Ulster final, not Croke Park. According to Mary Coughlin this week, and indeed to clubs off the county, they're going to give the thumbs down to Croke Park, which is fair enough. But obviously there's something to this, and we're waiting to get some sort of decision from Ulster GA. What's your thoughts on it, Tony?
Yeah, well, hey, Oisin, it's a strange one, because I was actually at the County Ladies Board meeting Monday week ago, and at the end of the meeting, or just shortly before the end of the meeting, the county chairwoman, Joanne McKinney, had got word from, I take it was Ulster Ladies Board, to confirm that if the Donegal and Armagh men make the Ulster final, that it'll be a double header in Croke Park. So I sort of took it, because I was telling a couple of the lads, a couple of the mates at home, that we're probably, there's a chance the Ulster final is going to be in Croke Park. So I thought it was a given, that I'm sort of surprised now when you're saying, and our own chairman is our own Mary Coughlin is saying that's not a given. I'm surprised that the ladies board had sort of announced that 2 weeks ago, and now there's a bit of confusion over it. So listen, I'm sure Tyrone and Down will have something to say about it, but yeah. If everything goes to script, you'd imagine it's going to be, you know, there's the possibility that it's, you know, you'll have the Donegal or men's and ladies and Ulster finals.
Yeah. In your view, should it be played in Croke Park, or is Clonus do we stick with the traditional home of Clonus for the provincial decider?
Listen, you cannot beat Oisin, you cannot beat Clonus for an Ulster final day. You know, it's absolutely, you know, and even there last year, you know, I remember barely being fit to watch the penalty shootout. Now, I suppose from a personal point of view, I have a daughter that's involved with the senior ladies, and an opportunity for them to get a run out in Croke Park, that might sway me a little bit. If the men's game was a standalone fixture, then I'd be saying 100% bring it to Clonus. With the ladies involved, as I said, from a personal point of view, for the girls to get a run out in Croke Park, I think that would be great for them. But listen, I'm a traditionalist, and I think Ulster final should be held in Clonus.
We'll wait to see what's going to be confirmed and what the state of play is, but obviously we have to see who's going to play in the finals. But we'll start with that first semi-final, because you're off a general feeling then that Armagh is going to beat Tyrone on Saturday by that response, Tony.
No, you know what, Oisin, the closer it gets, I'm not so sure. To me, the Ulster Championship has been a wee bit low-key so far, because it's nearly like every game has gone along the lines as expected. You know, that day in our Ballybuffet, the first day in the preliminary round against Derry, you know, it was a strange atmosphere. It was nearly like, as I said afterwards, that, you know, Derry supporters came expecting to lose, and Donegal supporters came expecting to win, even though the game was probably maybe a wee bit better than people expected. But it never, you know, to me, it never reached that sort of Ulster Championship fever pitch. Probably the same. I know the first half in the Armagh Antrim game was tight, but then Armagh blew them away in the second half. Tyrone, you know, Cavan never got to the pitch of the game. So it's nearly like it hasn't really caught fire. But listen, it's absolutely going to catch fire on Saturday night. You know, this is probably one of the biggest rivalries, you know, going back to the noughties, where Armagh dominated and Tyrone dominated. I suppose the way the big thing, Oisin, I would think, is the way the rules, with the new rules, you know, it does, to me, the advantage there is for the teams that are that bit more physical, and Armagh have a lot of physicality right in the middle of the field. The caveat to that is Tyrone probably have the best keeper, you know, alongside Sean Patton in the country, that can bypass that. I think a lot will depend on whether Darragh Canavan's fit. I do think that our Tyrone forwards can cause that Armagh defence problems. But as you can see in games in the Championship so far, if a team gets hemmed in on their kickouts, and Armagh have the physicality to do that around the middle, then all of a sudden, you know, a game that's maybe 2-3 points and the difference can suddenly shoot to 8, 9, 10 points. But as we've also seen that a team that's leading by 10 points, it's no guarantee that you're going to get over the line either. But listen, I think it's the makings of a brilliant, brilliant game. As I said, I think I would still go for, I think Armagh might have a wee bit too much for them. But Armagh have a lot of players that haven't played a lot of league football, but I still think that wee bit of experience, that bit of physicality, I think they might have a wee bit too much for Tyrone on Saturday evening.
Okay, and then Tony, looking ahead to the big game on Sunday, where Donegal, of course, are playing down. I see that Patter Mogan said this week that Donegal would be looking for improvement. Like, where did Donegal need to improve? Because at times they were very, very good at the weekend, so they were against Monaghan. Now, it was a bit of a scratchy end to the game, so it was where Monaghan were closing out the gap, and we all know the way the rules are, that the big leads aren't seen as concrete anymore to progressing through a fixture. But where do you think Patter Mogan and even Kieran Thompson were saying something similar that they need to improve on as they go into the down match?
Yeah, I think, Oshin, to be fair, and you know, I've heard Jim saying it as well. I suppose if you look at the Derry game, you know, we probably gave up two or three goal chances early in the match. We were a bit open against Derry, and that was probably a concern in that match. Against Monaghan, I thought we played well. I always felt that Monaghan was going to be a savage battle. Monaghan have always put it up to Donegal in Championship, and I thought, listen, I was delighted we got over the line, and it was only 2 points. I suppose we had a good first half. Could we maybe? I suppose the concern, if you combine the two matches, Oisin, one concern from a defensive point of view against Derry, we give up some goal chances over the two matches. We haven't really created a lot of goal chances. We've obviously, Dara got the goal against Derry. We had sort of two half chances. Michael Langan went through. Was it an out-and-out goal chance? I'm not 100% sure. And against Down, Oisin, the one thing Down have always been known for in Ulster Championship is a team that can get goals. They got goals against Fermanagh last week when they really needed it. So I think that's one thing Jim will be focusing, that we don't give Down any goal chances. And probably just that wee bit more consistency, you know, throughout the whole 70 minutes. I think that's what Jim and the lads will be looking for. But it is difficult because the game is a lot quicker than with the new rules. And I think Donegal have still, you know, we're still playing that hand passing game and running game, and where it's working really well. I think the deeper we go in the Championship, that might take a toll on the team, and I think we have to maybe start using, you know, the long kick. I noticed around the 20s used it this night, scored a great point. I think there was three kicks from our defence later on in the match. I think young Senna Kai kicked the ball over the bar. But I think that's something that we'll need to use, because to be asking these guys to go consistently at that pace, you know, 4 out of 6 weeks, it's going to be difficult. But I just think, you know, if we close down the Down's opportunities to get goals, you know, I think we're definitely have too much for them on Sunday.
Yep. Squad-wise, Donegal seemed to be in a good position. Now, I know Patter Mogan got man of the match last week, but Finbarroti could have got that honour. Michael Langan, Kieran Thompson were all in with a shout as well. They had really, really good games last week. We are missing the likes of Owen Bann, Keelan McGonigal, no Mark Curran. The squad's going to be tested as the Championship goes on, given the level that the football's been played at now. But Donegal seem to be in a good position, because when you're going into games and you always look at what's on the bench, Donegal always seem to have a stronger edge than their opposition, Tony.
Yeah, Oisin, I think that's going to be one of the pleasing things for Jim over the last couple of weeks, you know, that he's got miles into the legs of some players that didn't get a lot of game time during the league. You know, obviously Jason McGee is the big one, and got a wee bit more into Jason last Sunday, and I would imagine he'll get a wee bit more into him on Sunday, and hopefully looking forward to an Ulster final in 2 weeks' time. But, like, you know, when you have the likes of Jason and Oisin Gallen, an all-star from last year, to be fit to come off the bench. So the competition is brilliant. Obviously, it's disappointing, you know, that we haven't seen Owen Bann yet. My own club man, Mark, has picked up a knock on Derry, and hopefully that's not too serious. And we're not sure about Keelan McGonigal. Keelan's, to me, a really, really important player for this Donegal team, and especially when we come up against the more physical sides, you know, we'll be hoping to have Keelan back in there sooner rather than later. But from the point of view of the squad, I think we're in a really, really healthy place. And I think Jim mentioned that last year, it was probably maybe against Galway in the All-Ireland semi-final, we didn't have that depth, and it's something that he looked to build during the league, and he definitely did build that during the league, and it stands us now. And, you know, even with that, with the spread of scores that we're getting across the team as well, you know, when you've cornerbacks like Patter Mogan being fit to come up and kick 4 or 5 points, it's absolutely fantastic. Kieran Moore kicked them against Derry, didn't kick them the last day. So the spread is really, really good. And we are in a good position. But listen, the underlying worry is that, you know, Down are thinking, you know, all the talk, you know, Donegal people talking, are we going to Crow Park, are we going to Clonus and Ulster Final? That's dangerous talk. Down have been known to create an odd big shock over the years in the Ulster Championship. But I just think, you know, personally, I think Jim will have Argyll, you know, far, you know, focused that they'll not be taking anything for granted come Sunday. And, you know, I would like to think we'll be looking forward to a final in a couple of weeks' time, whether it's in Clonus or whether it's in Crow Park. But as long as we're in the final, we'll not mind where we have to go.
All right then, Tony. It was good to speak to you. And we look forward to the football the weekend. Fingers crossed for another Donegal win. And enjoy the football over the weekend. Thanks, Tony.
No problem, Oisin. Thank you.
It's always good to catch up with Tony Boyle. And you heard Tony reference there the under-21 action which took place last night. And as we know, Donegal and Tyrone will be contesting this year's provincial final, which will be played next Wednesday evening in Owen Beg after both counties came through their respective semis. Donegal cruised past Cavan 419-27, while the defending All-Ireland and Ulster champions Tyrone defeated Derry 312-19 points. For Donegal, Senan Carr scored 1-6, with the other three goals coming from Conor McCahill, Cian McMenamin and Dylan Mulholland. Donegal, of course, have beaten Tyrone already this year. That was by 8 points in the group stage, but the final is a totally different game. Donegal manager Gary Boyle spoke to me after the win last night, and he says contesting the decider is a place that they want to be.
Probably this morning, you know, that's where we wanted to be at this time, 9 o'clock tonight. We wanted to be through the next round, which is the final, and, you know, that's where we wanted to be. You know, whether we won by a point or 2 points or however we get over the line, we just needed to get over the line tonight. And, you know, we're just glad now that we did, like, and, you know, we have a big 7 days ahead of us now to get prepared for Tyrone next Wednesday night.
Before we look at that game on tonight's performance, even though you had a longer break than some of the sides since the last time that you played Tyrone here, it looked like the guys had actually never left here because they settled into the way they do things very, very quickly here.
You know, that's something we were chatting about even over the last few days. We were unsure of where we were with the 3 week break because we had a lot of games in a couple of weeks, and we built good momentum, and then we've trained very well, you know, but still I think we were anxious to get back on the pitch again, and we weren't too sure, were we going to be at the same level, would we have dropped a wee bit, would we have kicked on a wee bit, but no, very happy, you know, where the lads are, and I think the game tonight will stand us in great stead as well for next week.
Yeah. You had a couple of players back tonight. Obviously, Cian McMenamin was on there starting, and Finbar Rorty, two players that have done a lot of work with the seniors. How big a boost is that now to you and to the group to have them available?
Oh, massive boost. You know, it's great for the group, you know, to have them back. And, you know, our panel is probably stronger now as it's been all year. Like, you know, it's something that we talked about, that we wanted to get stronger as the competition went on, instead of, you know, throwing everything at the first game or two and then maybe losing a bit of energy. We wanted to build energy and get stronger as the thing went on, you know, and we're in a good enough place with that at the minute.
And both of those players, of course, bring, I suppose, power to the game, and there's lots of other players that involved in the Donegal side have power as well, and something Cavan couldn't contain tonight. They couldn't handle it.
Yeah, there's a lot of pace there, you know. There's just a lot of ability, there's a lot of hard work, there's a lot of good footballers, there's a lot of intelligent footballers there now, but, you know, it mightn't count for much, you know, this time next week. You know, you know, it's important, you know, that we put our best foot forward next week, and, you know, we have a big job ahead for us next week. Like,
7 days is to the next game, so listen, you have to enjoy a lead up to a final, but at the same time, you have to park everything that's happened up to now. This is going to be a different challenge, and a different probably Tyrone team in such a way when they go into a final compared to a group game.
Yeah, that's right. Now the lads, they're a very level headed bunch now. They're very mature, and they're very down to earth. Like, they don't need much of any of the management telling them, you know, about what they need to do. Like, they do a lot of even that themselves, but they're very focused, they're very tuned in, they're very hungry, but they're very down to earth as well, you know. And that's a great traits that they have. Like, so, you know, yes, they will enjoy it, and, you know, they enjoy coming to training, they'll enjoy the build up, the, you know, for next Wednesday, but they'll definitely will be focused on, you know, the job in hand and what they've got to do next Wednesday night.
Make your job a bit easier, do they?
Oh, without a doubt, they do, surely. Yeah, no, they're you know, they're a pleasure to work with now. They're just mad. That age group too, I think they're just mad for information, and, you know, and mad for just even to work together. And you know, I think they know themselves, and they've got a quiet belief in themselves. They know what the ability that's in the whole panel and what they have, you know, and they're just pushing each other on, and you know, and they're quietly going about their business.
That's Donegal manager Gary Boyle. Well, as for the Tyrone under-20s, they had a 2.1 over Derry last night. Conan Devlin, Conor O'Neill and Owen McElhone all grabbed the goals there. Tyrone manager Paul Devlin says that he's working with another fantastic bunch of players after the victory. He spoke with Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life.
Paul, what's your take on what just happened out there? It was a bit of a fight at the end, but the goals probably what made the difference.
It was but then again, you know, our goals scored again ourselves early in the year, so we had two against our team, but the goal made the difference. But again, you see near the end, Derry got a wee run of points, then near the end, a couple of 2-pointers sort of brought the scoreline around a bit more modest looking, you know. But again, I have to give full praise to the two teams, the way they went at each other night. That was a fantastic game of football, and you have to give the credit to both Tyrone and Derry the night. Aye.
A goal stood after half time. Then you saved the shot at the other end. A huge swing in the game, Paul.
Huge swing, look, that's the whole idea. You have one man, hopefully he's going to put in the back in it. That's what he's there for, and now I'm on the far end to keep them out. So, you know, that's part and parcel of the game. There's a focus there. Instead, after we got a goal at them, Derry's going to get on the attack and try and look a goal again too. And our boys were full credit and that they were well up till it. And big Connor pulled a fantastic save off. Yep, aye.
Was there any benefit in having five games, Paul, because you had a game every week?
Well, look, and one
sometimes
sense,
you like a break, but sometimes you like a break.
But you seen Armagh last week come at us. They had a break. They had a game the week before. Last year we played Monaghan. We had a break, so they hadn't come at us. And we only got over the line against them as well in Healy Park. So you know, it's how you gauge it and how you use your players. In all games, you want to try and get freshness in the group as much as you can. Aye.
I was reading some of your comments where you said every year is a new team. But what's it like to be involved with this particular group?
Like every group, you know what I mean. I thrice them all. It's a pleasure to get the opportunity to work with them on them. Bringing us new faces in there, hadn't been with the group last year. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that really stand up here. You know, go back to, you know, Colin Sheehy, Matthew Quinn there, you know, young McDermott inside there, lads they got there, you know, it's really stepping up. And it's Conan Devlin back the year with us. So it's really, you know, seeing new faces there, it's refreshing. So it will be, aye. If you're working on the same faces all the time, you agree. But fed up looking at some of the guys, you know, maybe more important, they get fed up listening to me. And that's the whole beauty of it there, aye.
And you touched on the fact that it's a week on week. Now you've a week to the final, yep, which I'm sure you'll be looking forward to.
Look, here, it's an Ulster final, and by God, we'll be looking forward to it. The more Ulster finals last and get into here in Ulster, it's a great place to be. The amount of counties that thrived we were at. And we're just lucky at the minute here. We have a great bunch of players. They're willing to listen and learn and work. And the most important thing is they're very honest with what we ask for. And see, that's all I can ask for from them, aye.
So that's Paul Devlin, Tyrone under 20 manager. It's Tyrone against Donegal in the provincial decider at that level next Wednesday evening in Owen Beg. Starts 7:30, and there will, of course, be full live match commentary from that one here on Highland. Just dipping into the hurling action this weekend. Donegal and Tyrone are going to play out a crucial fixture in the Christy Ring Cup. It starts at 12:30 in Carrickmore on Saturday afternoon. Both sides have yet to win in the competition. Both sides have lost their opening two matches. And I suppose this game could prove to be crucial. Whoever comes out the victor on Saturday could avoid relegation down the line off the back of the result this weekend. So a massive tie for Donegal and Tyrone as they meet in Carrickmore on Saturday. Derry also have a fixture in the Christy Ring Cup this weekend. They are playing Meath at Celtic Park on Saturday as well. And there's also an early start time to that one, gets underway at 1:00. Now to martial arts, and in the realm of kickboxing. The ISK Irish Open is taking place this weekend at the Templemore Sports Complex in Derry, and there are a number of fighters looking for national titles, including 16-year-old European champion from Inishowen, Liam Grant, who now joins us on the programme this evening. Thanks for dropping in, Liam.
Thank you for having me.
Listen, good to talk with you, Liam, and it's always nice when we have a European champion on the programme. Listen, that was just 2 weeks ago in Malta when you took the 65kg title there. So tell us about your trip to Malta and your journey en route to taking the gold medal, Liam.
Well, we were told about the event after the Worlds, because this Worlds is now in Australia and it's too far for us, so a couple of our Irish squad decided to go over and fight. The trip over was good. I was cutting weight in the middle of it. My weight went amazing. Bang on 64.8 when we went over there. We did our open ceremony, which was amazing to have all the support of the Irish fans there and see all the other teams as usual. And I didn't get fight until Saturday. Three fights. First fight was a Ukrainian boy. Went the full three rounds. Second fight was Romanian. Same full three rounds. And my last fight for the final was against another Ukrainian, which I won and became a European champion.
And that was obviously the target for you going into the competition in Malta.
Yeah,
you wanted European gold.
Yeah, that was it. There's nothing in between European gold and that's it.
Yeah. And that, of course, came off the back of taking third in the World Championships last year. And you're also Irish champion as well. So the last 12 months have been pretty productive for you.
They have. And that's good now this year. It's three fights, four fights are under the belt. Went over to Scotland and fight for a British title on 4 days' notice. I lost that, but you're more eager then to win.
Yeah.
After you lose, like.
Yeah. You've stepped up with it too. You were 60 last year, 65 now. I suppose it's all part of growing up, is it, Liam?
Yeah, that's it.
And you are fighting under Daniel Pintaquigley, the Strike Martial Arts Academy that's based in Derry. And listen, not a bad gym to be involved with. Pinta knows a thing or two about winning world titles. He's a four-time heavyweight champion. So he, of course, has all that experience that he's given to the likes of you and the other members there.
Yeah, that's it. He rubs off on as well.
Yeah, he certainly does. And he's a good man to have in and around your corner, that's for sure. So, listen, what's next then, Liam? Obviously, we have the big Irish Open coming now to Temple Moor this weekend. You're going to look for another Irish title, but obviously it's a different weight at 65. But you're going to face some tough opposition, are you?
Yeah, I've seen the categories being put out. I don't really mind about the opponents. I just go in there, fight after the Irish Open. Next year, we have the Worlds in Spain. So we'll definitely give that a run again. And we'll just have fights in between the months. Like, we're fighting in June over in Aberdeen again. So should be good to get it done.
Yeah, lots coming up. But what have you done in the intervening time now between Malta and the Irish Open? How have you planned for this competition, having come off the back of a success in such a big tournament?
Well, we got back on the Sunday. I was back in on training on Tuesday. I was training then with my sponsor, Keegan Higgerty. My strength conditioning for power, strength, all that. I got my massage. I've been relaxing. I'll have training tonight, and then I'll be me now till Saturday.
Good man. Listen, how long have you been at this sport?
About, say, 9-10 years now.
Okay, so you've quite a few years under your belt at it, and you've been growing as you've settled into it, Liam. Who were your role models in martial arts when you were younger, when you sort of got a grip of the sport and had a big interest in it?
I would have said when I was younger, I was probably seeing McGregor and how he took over everything when he was younger in his prime.
And obviously there'd be a boxing influence there too, wouldn't there?
Yeah, Tyson Fury as well. He was great back then as well.
Okay. Where would you like to go in this sport, Liam?
I would like to put everything into K1 now, hopefully go pro, fight then when I'm older and see where it takes me.
Yeah. If you are going to make the step up to pro now, obviously you're still in your teens, but if you are to make the step up to the pro levels, like, what do you have to achieve before you do that?
You have to really, in my head, you just have to run through amateur. Once you get to the stage where you're winning an amateur and you know you're confident winning, then you have to step up to pro or at least semi-pro.
Yeah. Well, listen, one more final question for you. Are you confident that you can make it back-to-back Irish titles this weekend?
Yes, I'm actually very confident for this now. Just go in there and fight.
Okay, good man. Listen, Liam, we wish you the best of luck and indeed to everyone involved at the Strike Martial Arts Academy in Derry this weekend, because the Irish Open is coming to the city of Derry, and I'm sure the homeboys will be looking for big performances and hopefully taking titles as well. So the best of luck to everybody.
Thank you. And I just want to say thank you to my sponsors, CNS Injury Clinic, Keegan Higgerty, and the Rabbit Hole Pop-Up Shop. Without them, everything wouldn't go as well.
Okay. Thanks, Liam. Good luck.
Bye.
So, a very exciting weekend for the young kickboxers this weekend at the Temple Moor Sports Complex in Derry. There's an important rugby fixture taking place this weekend as well, and it involves the North West side. Oma are taking on Thomond. Thomond are the beaten junior finalists. Oma finished 9th in Division 2C of the All-Ireland League. It is a playoff game, and the result means whoever wins in this game will be playing senior AIL rugby next year. However, if Oma were to suffer defeat, there would be an implication into how the tiers in the Ulster Championship standings as well in regards to promotion and relegation. So there's a lot at stake for a Northwest club to be in senior rugby, and also the knock-on effect of what will be the implications of promotion and relegation at Ulster levels as well. But Oma are in action, and they're hoping to round off the season with another victory, having won lots of their games towards the end of the campaign. Now, the North West 10K is just under 2 weeks away. It's taking place on Bank Holiday Monday, the 5th of May. So the countdown is very much on to the big event. And joining us now on the line, I'm delighted to say, is the 10K chairperson, Neil Martin. Neil, welcome back to Highland.
Thanks very much, Ashin. Thank you. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah, well, listen, the countdown very much on. Under 2 weeks to go now, what, about 11 days or so? So how's the prep going, I suppose, Neil?
The preparation's going very well, yes. We're just with our pre-registration. We have over 300 entered already, which is a big help for the committee, for the weekend of the competition, because they don't have to come in. People don't have to come in to register, and they all have to just come in and collect their number and their T-shirt. Yes, we're going very well. The two charities we have this year is Donegal Horizon, CLG, and MS Ireland, the Donegal branch, which are working very, very well and dovetailing very, very well together. So, yeah, the prep's going very well, and we seem to be on roads to achieve the standard that we set out for the, or the mark we set out for this year was to make 1 million euros. Up until on the first 27 runnings, we had 980,000 plus. And now this year we hope to go over the million on the 28th running of the Northwest 10K.
Yeah, that would be a phenomenal achievement, Neil.
That's a fantastic achievement, but it's not only an achievement to the Northwest 10K committee. It's a fantastic achievement by the people of Letterkenny and the Northwest of Donegal, of Ireland, that keep coming out year in, year out, and supporting the event, and the charities themselves that have benefited. There's nearly 40 of them over the 27 years that have benefited to that, with that amount of money. They have worked hard themselves as well. We as a committee are just a vehicle to run a road race where the charities and the people of the local community can come out and support the different charities that we select every year. So, you know, what's the word I would use? We're all in. Everybody's in it together, as they say, and working hard. Actually, at the moment, I'm sitting here at the Mount Errigal getting ready. One of the charities tonight is doing a lip sync competition, and I've sold their tickets, and there seemed to be a big crowd gathering here. So we're hoping that, you know, that's part of the deal, and we're just helping out for the night as a committee as well. But that's what we do. And we say we organise the date, we organise the road race, we look after the security and the marshals and the stewards. But it's the charities and the friends of the people in those charities that generate most of the income.
Yeah. They haven't talked to you into competing in the lip sync, have they, Neil?
No, certainly not. And I think it would be a non-runner.
Listen, there's still lots of time for people to get involved and obviously register and obviously get the sponsorship cards as well, and to help the cause to try and get over this €1 million mark.
Absolutely. The sponsorship cards, the charities have already put out about 200 each, and we as a committee have had 60 or 70 cards out there, but there's more to go if anybody wants them. You can enter online on, if you go to our Facebook page, the Northwest 10K Facebook page, you can hit the online entry button, or you can go onto the Northwest website, www.northwest10k.com, and hit the link for the entries. So the more people that enter online, a lot easier for us as a committee to organize things. We can have the T-shirts ready for all those people. We can have the right sizes ready. We can make sure that people that enter early and don't appear maybe until Monday morning to collect their ticket are going to get the T-shirt they ordered for, so to speak. And it makes it a lot easier. Now, to have over 300 entries at this time, 11 days out, is massive, because we normally would hit 400 to 500 people on the last week alone coming in to register online, which to me would basically emphasise or signal that we're going to have over nearly 1,200 people this year in the Northwest 10K, or maybe higher. And again, we noticed that ourselves. Me coming from an athletic background, and Brendan McDade, our race director, would notice that the numbers are up in the road races. And again, it appears to be happening with our Northwest 10K this year as well. Yeah. So hopefully we do hit that mark. I would be fairly confident that we, from what I have seen with the entries and from what I've seen coming from the charities and the work they're doing and all the other side shows that we get, and of course our five major sponsors who we couldn't manage the race without them. That's Brian McCormick Sports, that's the Century Cinemas, Value Centre, Mount Errigal Hotel and the Donegal Daily. They financially, they help us organize a race so that everything that happens within the race then is clear profit for the charities. And that's a very, very benefit, a big benefit to us as a committee. So I would be fairly confident, and I would nearly be so confident that I would nearly say it now, that we will go over the 1 million euro mark. And I think that wouldn't be boasting, it would just be a fact of where we are.
Yeah, listen, that would be absolutely fantastic, so it would. And hopefully you get the numbers of 1,200 plus on the day of the event as well. And there's still lots of time. Listen, Neil, we'll let you go and enjoy the lip sync and we'll catch up again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Ashley. Much appreciated. Thank you very much.
And you will, of course, get all the details on the social media channels of the Northwest 10K as the countdown continues there. Just finally, one notice. A major cycling event, the Donegal Bay Spring Sportive, will take place in southwest Donegal this coming Saturday, April 26th. Some 300 cyclists will be leaving the Diamond in Donegal Town at around 10 a.m. and cycling towards the areas of Mount Charles, Dunganilly, Brooklis, Killybegs, Kilcar, Carrick, Glencolumbkill and Ardra before returning to Donegal Town between 12 and 5pm. So the organising committee would like to ask motorists and cyclists to show respect to fellow road users and proceed with caution and consideration in those areas where that event is happening on Saturday. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. As always, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website, HighlandRadio.com. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, have a very good evening.